Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
At least you may have to take a... Good evening. We're on the air.
Good evening. This is your New Africa Business Association, Washington, D.C., Blog Talk Radio show. We have your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and myself, Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Can you hear, Brother Bynum, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you now, Brother Aziz.
Yes.
I think Blog just brought us on. It's a lot of folks dialing in, so we'll just give them a few moments, and we will go ahead and open up the show. So
okay.
Why don't we just take a station break, and then we'll come back with tonight's show.
Okay. Can you hear me clearly, though?
Yes.
Okay, good.
One would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you loved your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?
And welcome back to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. Again, I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed.
And unfortunately, we want to apologize. I can see that our lights are lighting up for tonight's program, estate planning and taxation. But our professionals, the attorney, unfortunately, she's tied up in a late trial, and she won't be able to do the power of attorney show with us tonight, but she promised next Wednesday she will come back and do our show. Also, our CPA, she's also tied up. So, again, we're going to have to continue with our network marketing and business identification, or we can do our last part, part five of the contribution of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to his son, the contribution the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made to his son, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Of course, we have done four versions of that, and everyone, we've been received quite welcomely on those shows, and it seems to be very popular. But at the same time, we do have part five, the last part that we didn't do. So I think tonight we will go ahead and continue part five. And again, for those of you who the many of you who's already dialed in and was waiting on the attorneys, Ms. Williams, to do the estate planning program, and Ms. Baker, our CPA, who would have done the taxation and brought us up to date on the new Trump tax bill, we're going to have to discontinue that show until next Wednesday. But again, we're going to continue live with part five of the contribution of Imam W.D. Muhammad, the contribution the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made to his son, the Honorable W.D. Muhammad. So, Imam W.D. Muhammad. So we take a sponsor break, and we'll be right back with tonight's show.
Natural skincare by Karima with shea butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body, without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
The question that's going to be posed for today's final panel is, did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad prepare his followers to accept universal al-Islam? Before we begin, I do have an announcement. Dr. Zakiya Muhammad was unable to be with us today. We are praying for her, and I'm asking everyone if we can collectively recite Surah Al-Fatiha for her healing. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim, siratal ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. So that is the question that we're going to pose for this panel. The format is still going to be the same. We have three distinguished guests with us that will be speaking about that topic. We're going to do a short little bio for each of them. They will have about approximately 10 minutes to do their. So as far as me, I've been Muslim 17 years. I did not come through Islam through the Nation of Islam or through the W.D. Muhammad community. So my story is a little bit different. I'm a first-generation Muslim. For my day job, I work as a program manager for a national nonprofit called Playworks, which serves students all over the United States in 23 different regions. As far as my family, I've been married to my wife Nancy for 15 years. My son Zaire is 7. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm an MC, I'm also a photographer. I serve and do a lot of many different things. So we're going to go into the panel. So let me just pull up my bio. So we're going to start off with Dr. Nasser Ahmed. Dr. Ahmed is an oral surgeon and imam. He is currently the imam at Masjid al-Ansar in Miami, Florida. He was born in Chicago, Illinois. He is the second son of 15 children. Currently, Imam Ahmed is married with 5 daughters and 5 sons. Currently, he is lecturing nationally and internationally on religious, health, and related topics. So we'll go ahead and start off with Dr. Ahmed.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم I, like the speakers before me, give my thanks and appreciation for this great, courageous effort to host this analytical and didactic look into the Nation of Islam as it has evolved into the community of Muhammad the Prophet. And we pray for our brothers and sisters, whom we love very dearly, because I'm looking at them right now in front of me, the Nation of Islam, and I used to look like y'all. I was handsome like that at one time. I didn't need no Vaseline, but I was shining. So we pray Allah for Minister Farrakhan and for you, young brothers. Yes, you have our hearts. You warm our hearts very, very dearly. I want to give mine very quickly as I can. The position did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad prepare us for his followers to accept the universal al-Islam. You know, my home was Chicago, and before I returned to Islam, I was raised a Catholic, prepared to be a priest. It never worked out. I kissed a girl and was all over. You know they can't have a wife. You know that, right? So anyway, in the Nation of Islam, just to make it real quick, because we got some dynamite brothers next to me. You know, we were given one meal a day. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he used to teach us. He would say, study the lessons and dig deep. And he would tell us that the answers is not on the surface. That this is the original teachings, you know. The original teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So what he was doing, this is what he told us, and this is what it is. He was giving us one meal a day to bring us to the belief in one God. See, the trick was to give us 3 meals a day, and that was from the Jacobites. They gave it to the West. And the West took that as the times to eat. So it prepared the unsuspecting masses to accept 3 gods in one. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his great wisdom, and Farid Muhammad, they gave this to us at a time when we were babies. We were babies. We didn't know. So we took it hook, line, and sinker. But he was preparing us for the purity of the worship of one God, Allah. And I hope you won't be disrespected in what I'm about to do. I was in the Nation of Islam. If I wasn't there on time, I had to drop down and do 25 push-ups. Yeah, you brothers know, you ain't holy. You had to do it too. So we say, they say, right faith, left faith, mouth faith, front faith. We did that over and over and over and over 4 times to prepare us for the 4 takbirs of al-Islam. Am I helping you?
Yes, sir.
We're bringing all that to the forefront so we can see these things. The sisters had their uniforms. We men, we had the uniforms, FOI, Fruit of Islam. And what was the purpose of the uniforms on the sisters on the outside? And the purpose of the uniform of the brothers on the inside, to bring us into the uniformity of mind. Just as we had one uniform externally, we had one uniform internally. See, this is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad dealing with the deficit of the psychological destruction of a people. The only one that could do that was a man who was helped by God himself. Yeah, so I'm giving you these things. Yeah. Man, I'm telling you. Look, I'm going to tell you this here. The other power, you know, how he prepared us. He and his son. You know, Muhammad was a black God. So when I come in the community, I'm expecting somebody darker than me. But when we had the picture of Father Muhammad, he's very light-skinned. And so, you know, I had questions like others. I won't name them. He's right here. I'm getting him because he got me all the way. So he picked me up from the airport, and I was on lockdown ever since. He's a wonderful imam. Thank Allah for him, and Imam Shuaib. But you know what it was? They were using the attraction for our people who had an image of a white man as God, Jesus. So the acceptance of Father Muhammad was to give an image of the one that we had at first. Do you see the psychology? Very powerful. So then Imam Muhammad helping his father with the transition, this is what he told us. He said, Allah is a divine mind. Now you listen to this language. We've been told all these years Allah was a black man. And he was trying to help us in the transition. And he said, Allah was a divine mind. When we heard it, I was young as these brothers sitting right here. And we were in college, so naturally, you know, we're listening to what we were given in the catechism, but we were also gravitating, you know, towards the evolution of that language. So when Imam Muhammad said that to us, it was a core group in Chicago. And his father was alive at the time. And he was given that language, and the little core group began to grow and grow and grow because we could see that man was a mind. We could see where he was going with it, you see. And we had the lessons that told us about our dear women. Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, protect your women. Oh, it wasn't no question about it. And a man would get no respect if he doesn't protect his woman. Because his woman is his most productive field. This is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know. And so Imam Muhammad, building on that wisdom, he said, woman is the womb of mind. He told us, he said, W-O-M-A-N is not one word. He's helping his daddy. He says it's two words. W-O, abbreviation for womb, and M-A-N, mind, that every woman is the womb of man. First, biologically, she serves his womb as a physical body. He comes out as a physical body. Then she takes her second role as the womb of his mind. You see? Yeah. So I'm going real quickly because we got some young men next to me. I can feel the energy flowing now. I like to prime the pump, you know? Yeah, I'd like to do those things. So you know in the Quran it says, Nisa'ukum harithu lakum, that your women are the field for you. And it says, Fatu harithukum, and approach your field as you will. This is in the Quran. I'm giving you Arabic. Okay? You know, now don't be finished. I'm going to finish. You know when that woman is pregnant, I like to demonstrate it. When she first starts, she's flat like this. See? But as time goes on, she's looking like this. Am I right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
She's an upside down question mark. Right or wrong?
Yeah.
Right. Meaning that you don't know what God has put in your wife.
Right.
See, we use the term wife because in Islam, sex is marriage.
Yes.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Sex is marriage. So when she's pregnant like this, when that baby comes into the world, if you don't have a doctor, if you do not have a nurse, if you don't believe me, go to the nursing room, birthing room. The baby comes in the world with its face towards the ground because it has been praying in her body 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it comes into this world now with its face on the ground in sajda. and don't want to see the doctor. The doctor had to flip that baby over. You see, we don't know these things. So we were taught this by Imam Muhammad. Now I'm a surgeon now, but he was teaching this before I went to medical school. So, you know, he and Honorable Elijah Muhammad was prepping all of us. Those who were in the Nation of Islam, they were prepping us. And you in the Nation, you're being prepped for big responsibility, you young brothers. Allahu Akbar. So I'm just trying to let you know, okay? Yeah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was our leader for all of us. And he was the leader for all of the African Americans, not only in America, but also throughout the world. They just didn't know it. But we're living proof of it. We were told this, do for self, right? You remember that? Do you know what that is? See, all of those statements of the Quran. Say, my time is now. all of the statements in the Quran. I didn't know I was talking that long. All the statements in the Quran that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us can be found in the Quran.
Yeah.
You know what that is? Chapter 5, verse 105. It says, yeah, you had Ladina Aminu. Alaykum and Fusukum.
Mm-hmm.
Your own souls obligate you. That's where do for self comes from. But we weren't ready for that. We were in the nursery school. We were called a what? A baby nation. So he gave us baby language to prepare us for the Quran. Thank you so very much. As-salamu alaykum. Forgive me. I know I'm in trouble. I ain't gonna be invited back.
You're good.
Yeah. I'm sitting here with Giant right now. I'm really jealous because I'm the only one without a kufi that's up here. So just for those who are watching us either via Facebook Live or live stream, the question is, did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad prepare his followers to accept universal al-Islam? And so to recap, in 1975, Imam W.D. Muhammad, son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was unanimously accepted as a new leader by the members of the Nation of Islam. Shortly after accepting leadership, Imam Muhammad directed the members to focus and increase their studies on the Quran, on proper worship of Allah and his prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many say that Imam Muhammad dismantled the Nation of Islam. Some believe that Imam W.D. Muhammad's naming the two leaderships, his and his father's, as the first and second resurrection implies continuity of this nonviolent transition. So next up is Imam Abu Qadir al-Amin, who received his first appointment as resident imam in 1981 by the esteemed leader of the Muslim Americans, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Imam al-Amin has served as the Muslim chaplain at the federal prison FCI in Dublin. Additionally, he has worked for the Center of Juvenile and Criminal Justice as program director and associate director for 23 years. As imam of the San Francisco Muslim Community Center, he served as convener of Western Regional Imams from 1995 to through 2010. He has been involved in city and statewide issues and concerns as a community organizer. His travels on behalf of the Muslim community include visits to Saudi Arabia, Thailand, China, Mexico, Kenya, Kuwait, Abu Dhabi, and Dubai. What is yours?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I seek refuge with Allah against Satan, the rejected. I thank Allah for this opportunity to be on this panel. And I'm going to approach the question a little different. When I became impacted by the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I was a teenager, maybe 13 or 14 years old. Islam began to be popularized in black communities throughout America. I was living in Vallejo, California. Some prominent pioneers in the West Coast area were going to cities like Richmond and Vallejo and Bakersfield and Fresno, and they were fishing. And they were trying to attract us to Islam. And they reached many people that I had friendships with throughout my life and still have friendships with them that are still living. And Andrew Kandu, Mustafa Hassan, was one of the ones. He said he knew me when I was 10 years old. He began to fish people in. And many of my friends joined the Nation of Islam, Brother Sam X. Upton, Brother Leo Austin, Sister Hazel, Sister Niotha, Brother Evangeline, Brother Stafford, Brother Leroy, Brother George. I can go on and on. Sister Deborah, Sister Janice, and all of them, we grew up together. We lived in the same neighborhood. We learned with each other. We played with each other. We did all of those things, and they influenced us. I remember one of my friends stopped me coming out of the store. I was eating a pecan pie, and he said, "Brother, that's going to take years off your life." Man, what? Years off my life, man? Go buy your own pie. I thought he was trying to get a piece of my pie. But he started introducing ideas to me. My mother had always raised me to be a God-fearing person. I wasn't raised in the church. She always raised me to pray to God and ask God for answers when I had trouble in my life. So I remember at 14 years old, the first time I called on Allah, I asked Allah to help me. And I didn't understand Allah. I just knew Allah was God, the creator. I knew that much. So I called on God, and I said, "Oh, God, don't let me die." I had taken some Red Devils. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Second halls. You know, we were getting high. And I called on Allah, and I said, "Oh, Allah, don't let me die." And then I began to be more attracted to Islam through individuals like Muhammad Ali and many others and the people in my neighborhood. And we began to change certain of our habits. We stopped eating pork. All of us wanted to be Muslims because we thought it spoke to something inside of us. And we would all say, "I knew it was something else. I knew." So it was as though the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the people he empowered were speaking to something in us that was internal. And then at about 17 years old, I began to call myself a Muslim. But I hadn't learned how to be a Muslim. I hadn't been taught to be a Muslim. I just identified with being a Muslim. And as young people do, I was experimenting, getting high and smoking weed and doing that kind of stuff. Pretty soon, my partners didn't want to get high with me because I was always talking about serious stuff. "Hey, man, you're messing my high up with all this serious stuff." And I remember taking my letter out at Muhammad's Temple, number 26 in San Francisco. Minister Majid taught about we needed a hospital. And at that time, I had been messing with drugs to the point that it was affecting my life. And so I took my letter out. I think it was Easter Sunday, 1969. That evening, I went home and I gave a quarter ounce of drugs away. I took it back in the morning, but I was sincere. Later on, I continued. I wanted to be a Muslim, but I was caught up in bad behavior. I'm trying to be quick. I was caught up in this bad behavior, and as a result of that, I ended up in jail on my way to prison for a murder. And this particular situation, this is 1969. I'm in the Solano County Jail, and Muhammad Speaks was a popular newspaper. A newspaper came into the county jail. Muhammad Speaks. This was unusual. Imam Hassan talked about phenomena and strange things happening. This newspaper did not have the Honorable Elijah Muhammad centerfold in it. It had a verse from the Holy Quran in the centerfold, just one verse. And that verse said, "Woe is me, would that I had taken away with the messenger." And that hit me like, whoa. If I had only followed Donald Elijah Muhammad, I wouldn't be in this mess. And I determined then, wherever I went, I was going to be a Muslim and a good Muslim. And I was going to learn how to be a Muslim. So fast forwarding, May the 4th, 1970, I was sentenced to die in the gas chamber at San Quentin. Got to San Quentin. It was three Muslims there. I wrote my letter to Donald Elijah Muhammad, got my letter back. He sent me the soup prayer. The morning prayer. "Surely I've turned myself being upright to him who originated the heavens and the earth. Surely my prayers, my sacrifice, my life, my death, all for Allah, no associates is he, and I am commanded to be of the Muslims." And he sent Al-Fatiha. He sent the student enrollment. And I think in that letter, the letter was sent to me by Sister Valora Najib, who used to be the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's one of his secretaries. And I started to learn Islam there.
And I was in a peculiar situation. So from 1970 to 1972, I was in an incubator. All we could do was read. So we would order books from Books and Things. We would order books from Specialty Promotions in Chicago. And I had my family sending me Islamic books from wherever my family was, my family in Delaware, my family in Illinois, my family in Los Angeles, my family in Vallejo. They say, what you need? Send me this book. So they would send me the Hadith books. They would send me Qurans. I think I first started learning my prayers in 1970. The first prayer I learned in Arabic was this one, from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that came with my acceptance into the community. Inni wajatu wachi lilladhi fatara samawati wa arda wa nifa al-musliman wa mani min al-mushkeen inni salati wa nusuki wa mahma wa mimati lillahi rabbil alameen. I learned that prayer while I was still on death row. And Brother Paul Sixx, who was one of the brothers out of the Temple Number 8 in San Diego, he was on death row. He knew a little bit more, so he was kind of educating me about some things, but I didn't trust him because he said he followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad before he came to prison. And I was convinced if you would have followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you wouldn't have went to prison. So I had a little, you know, difference, you know, in terms of how I saw things. So Allah blessed me. December, now, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said your own self is a righteous Muslim, I wanted to know what a Muslim was supposed to be so I could measure up to what I wanted to become. I wanted to become a Muslim, so I had to learn, and I began to learn the practices. I began to fast, not only during December, we also used to fast. Because I was reading books, we used to fast on the 13th, 14th, and the 15th. We used to fast on when the moon was full because it had extra spiritual benefit. All of this was through reading and study through books that we were ordering through Muhammad Speaks newspaper. And Donald Blythe Muhammad taught us when you become a Muslim, you become a part of the Muslim world. But he was an individual who gave us our own identity. One of the most powerful concepts that was therapeutic for me was accept your own and be yourself. Accept your own and be yourself. And then he had a drawing in the centerfold in the progress section of the black man coming out of faith, coming out of the heavens, stars and everything. And he said, Allah created human beings like stars. All of them are unique and all of them are different and all of them had their own uniqueness. And that spoke to something in me. And I used to go to bed while I was on death row. And every night I would look at that image coming out the heavens and I would say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Nobody taught me dhikr, but I saw people breaking down on death row and losing their minds and becoming kind of psychotic. And I was like, I told my family, I said, if I don't lose my mind, I might be able to get out of here. So don't ever allow these people to put me on no medicine. I don't need no medicine. I don't care what they tell you. And Allah bless me to get off of death row. I know my time's almost up. I got to say this. They had a psychological evaluation before they released 106 people who were on death row in 1972 when it was declared unconstitutional. And the psychiatrist asked me what did I think were the reasons for me ending up on death row. And I told him, obviously I'm here because I killed a man. But the real reason I'm here is because you kidnapped and enslaved my people and brought us over here and taught us your wicked way of life. Takbir. 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 I was 22 years old then. And then after that, I went to the mainline population at Dual Vocational Institution in Tracy. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to do for self, so I enrolled in the bakery program. I learned the trade. I became a baker. I've owned three bakeries in California, one in Cupertino, one in Pacifica, one in Oakland. And I still believe I have one of the best pies that you can eat. And in conclusion, I know my time is up. Imam Yaqub, please excuse me. Imam W.D. Muhammad became the leader in 1975. The first time I went to the parole board to be considered for release was, I believe it was 1974. And in order to be cleared to be eligible for parole, you had to have a psych clearance. So they told me I had to participate in group therapy with the psychiatrist. So that was the classification committee told me that I had to do that before I go to the parole board. And I went to one group therapy session. I stayed in there for about 2 minutes. I told the psychiatrist, come here. I got up, went outside, stood outside the door, and I told him, this is not for me. I said, these people are disrespectful. They're cussing at each other. They're talking to people's mamas, and I'm not going to participate in this. So they sent me back to the classification committee, and they said, well, you have to do therapy. I said, I get therapy every week, the centerfold of the Muhammad Speaks newspaper. And they gave me a psych clearance. I got a parole date in, they gave me a parole date in 1976. They gave me a 2-year release date. They say you'll be released 2 years. On December the 4th, you'll be released. So I had a parole date. Something happened in the prison. One of our brothers got assaulted, attacked. They tried to kill one of our brothers. I had a parole date. Somebody had to address what had happened. I said, I got to pray Salatu Istikhara first. They took me to the holding cell. I prayed Salatu Istikhara. The rest is history. Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Okay. Who taught me Salatu Istikhara? Mount Elijah Muhammad, through his publication, Muhammad Speaks. Whoever joins in a good cause has a share in it. Who shared with us all of that knowledge, all of those books, all of those things that we aspired for? And he told us not to be criminals, to be decent, upright human beings. I didn't want to be no prisoner. That ain't no badge of honor for me. I wouldn't even talk about this if Imam Muhammad hadn't told me you should tell that story because it could help other people. Mm-hmm. 2020 asked me to talk about that in 1981, 1982, 1983, 1984. I told him no. I talked to the Imam about it in Los Angeles at one of the events. The Imam said, that's good that you don't want to make that a badge of honor for yourself or injure the family or the person that you went to prison for killing. He said, but think about the people you could help. He said, share it with that in mind. I said, well, you know, the media sometimes they'll take a story and brutalize it. I don't trust the media. And the Imam said, just say what you want to say and then trust in Allah. And it worked. Also, I need to say this. My wife is standing right there. When I came out of prison, I had that little $200 check. They call it gate money. I didn't have no ID. My beard was longer than his. My hair was black. I went in the bank, cashed that check, no ID. I see this little cute African-American sister with a little short mouth. And I said, oh, Allah, I hope you had let me go to that window. She probably can understand. So I went to her window, and I asked her and explained my situation that I just got out of prison. I need to cash this check so I can get my beard trimmed and a haircut. And I said, and maybe when I'm doing better, I can come and take you to lunch. And she got the check approved. I came back maybe a month later, making about 4 times more money than she was making. just telling the truth. And I took her to lunch and couldn't afford but one lunch, hers. So I watched her eat and I sipped tea. And now here we are 38 years later, 39 years later.
Oh, my God.
And all of that, I learned from Donald Elijah Muhammad and those men and women that he stood up and told us that our life is Muslim life and to reconnect with it and take it back. No. And to reestablish ourselves, clean up our neighborhoods, clean up our communities, clean up our hearts and our minds. And wise thing I hear from my wife all the time, this is how the Imam told me to give khutbahs. He said, always have a point in mind, and when you made your point, do what my wife just told me.
I don't believe that.
That is words of wisdom right there. I know. Imam Yahya Abdullah is the Imam of Masjid Muhammad in Jacksonville, Florida. He was the Imam of the Dallas Masjid for 18 years and established a full-time Sister Claire Muhammad School in 1983. He performed Hajj to Mecca, Saudi Arabia in October 1981. Imam Abdullah attended the Arabic language program at the Saudi Academy in Washington, D.C. in 1987, where he was a class valedictorian. In 1988, he co-produced a nationally aired documentary, The Hajj, Pilgrimage to Mecca, which I have at my house. In the same year, he founded the African-American Men Against Narcotics, Iman, a group dedicated to drug prevention and rehabilitation, and was also featured in a nationally acclaimed documentary on PBS entitled The War on Drugs. Imam Abdullah is the author of four books, author of Elements of Progressive Leadership, Dynamics of African-American Male Development, Manhood Training Curriculum Outline, and Religion is the Solution to the Crime Problem in America and Developing the Human Potential. Imam Abdullah visited Saudi Arabia with Imam W.D. Muhammad on four occasions in the early 90s. Imam, take it away.
Thank you. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulil kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Dear brothers and sisters, greetings to you, those of you all who are joining us on live streaming, and to our live Facebook audience around the world, and there are thousands viewing us, Vitra, live. I was checking the numbers. I couldn't check them all, but we are well over thousands. And you mentioned the thousands of live streaming. So not only are we broadcasting here at this prestigious institution, Zaytuna College, but we are live streaming, and the Muslims and non-Muslims around the world are learning about our story in America. So thank you again for that. Now, before I do my 10 minutes, the reason I'm sitting on this panel is because our dear brother, my friend and family, we like family, Nas and all of us, and Abu, Imam Qasim Ahmed.
Yes.
He was supposed to be here with us, but Allah knows best, and you heard earlier that he's battling with illness. So he's watching. So here's what we're going to do. He's watching, I believe, on Facebook Live and on live stream, and I know he wanted to be here. In fact, I told him he had a hard time. He wanted to come. I said, I'll be at your house with a protest sign. You ain't coming out of there like that. So he laughed. This was a few days ago that I talked to him.
Yeah.
But I want him to hear all of us send him the greetings as loud as you can. Assalamu alaikum. All right, my friend, you got it. So we know you're here. All right. Now to the question. Did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad prepare his followers to accept true al-Islam? But why don't we hear from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself? Message to the black man. In America, written by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in 1965. Now, why is that important? That's 10 years before Imam Muhammad became our leader officially. 10 years. It's 35 years after the start with his teacher, W.D. Farrar. And as President Obama famously said, you don't judge the person, and Allah tells us he judges by the best thereof and by the best of our works. You don't judge him by one or two things he didn't do right, or he made this mistake, or he committed that sin. No, God doesn't judge us like that. So President Obama said you judge by the whole body of work. So let's look at the body of work, and there's a chapter in this book. And when I was in the Nation of Islam, it's John 5X, Lieutenant John 5X, I read Message to the Black Man I don't know how many times. And I know I read that chapter that I'm going to share with you. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, just highlights out of the chapter. And one day Allah blessed me. I was speaking, I believe it was in Atlanta, Georgia, Pioneers Bank, and I was just looking for something, Nasa. And I went across this chapter in Message to the Black Man that I had read when I was Lieutenant John 5X and Squad Leader John 5X, AK. And the chapter is titled, What is Islam? Now listen carefully. If there's a chapter in this book, and there are many chapters in this book, titled, dedicated to what is Islam, what comes before that chapter is questionable for, in relationship to the religion of Al-Islam.
Yeah.
What follows after this chapter is questionable as it relates to the religion of Al-Islam. And we've heard all day from people who were there, who were present, Imam A.K. Hassan, Imam Donna Kareem, Sister Gloria, and others, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a strategy and a stratagem. And his message for the black man in America was more social reform. But when it came to the religion, Captain Shaw, he made a distinct, clear difference between what he was teaching, that social reform, and what is the religion of Islam. So let's see what he said.
All right.
Page 68. Islam. What is Islam? The author of Islam is Allah, God. We just cannot imagine God being the author of any other religion but one of peace. Since peace is the very nature of Allah and peace he seeks for his people, and peace is the nature of the righteous, most surely Islam, and that's what he says now, Al-Islam proper, Islam is the religion of peace. The followers, listen carefully, page 69, and I'm highlighting. The followers are believers of Islam are over 500 million people at that time in 1965. Now it's well over 1.76 billion, whatever the number is. Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Islam has five beautiful fundamental principles of belief. The most essential of them all is the belief in one God. Oh, whoa. That's not Imam Yahya. I'm reading Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah.
Tawheed.
Yeah.
I could give this khutbah, any of the imams can give this khutbah and read straight from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Don't say it was Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Just read what Islam is, tell you there's belief in one God, and then say, oh, by the way, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that on page 69 in Message to the Black Man. Was the belief, quote, oneness of God in the preachings of all the prophets of God from Noah, listen carefully, to Muhammad the prophet, the last. Wait a minute, I thought you told us you were the last messenger of God. Muhammad the prophet was the last messenger. Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Allah.
10 years before Imam Muhammad's leadership. As I have said, quote, if your religious roots are not found in the universal order of things, it is not from God, Allah. What is Islam, he asks? It can be answered in one word, righteousness. Briefly, it is the religion of Allah and his prophets. Islam is as old as Allah himself and is the religion of which Allah is the author. Islam is the religion of Adam, Noah, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad the prophet, the last. Islam is the religion of entire submission to the will of Allah. Islam is the religion which the Holy Quran teaches. This Holy Quran. So if you have an Islam that is not in the Holy Quran, you are not following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar. That's right.
Yeah.
Allah says in the Quran, quote, this day I have perfected for you your religion, completed my favor on you, chosen for you Al-Islam as a religion, chapter 5, verse 3. Allah God also says in another chapter of the Holy Quran, quoting Imam Elijah Muhammad, surely the true religion with Allah is Islam, chapter 3, verse 18. He continues on page 72. Now, my dear brothers and sisters who are here from the Nation of Islam, those who are listening from the Nation of Islam, please don't feel offended. I'm quoting from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. God forgive him his sin and grant paradise. He vindicated himself. He gave a shirk and took it away from us. Let's see. The God in Islam is not a national or tribal God. But as the Holy Quran describes him in the opening words, he is the Lord of all the world. This conception of God is... Now, notice that right here on Islam and God, he doesn't say the black man is God one time.
No.
And by the way, I didn't believe that either because I grew up with friends named Pookie, Junebug, Ray Ray, and Bubba. And when I heard that, I said, there's no way Pookie is God, Ray Ray, Bubba, and Junebug. I got 1 minute. Now, and we'll go over some more during question and answer. It is the highest, it is the highest of ignorance for us to choose a God or to attempt to make something as an equal to him. Foolish people all over the earth have been for the past 6,000 years and still are trying to make an equal to Allah. He has no beginning, nor is there any end to him. How, oh foolish man, can you make an equal for such a one? How foolish we make ourselves serving and worshiping God other than the one God, Allah. I'm Elijah Muhammad. So did he prepare us for Islam? Wait a minute. He taught us true al-Islam in 1965 and memorialized it so that one day one of his followers and a student of Imam Muhammad, God would take the veils off and the scales off the eyes. Imam Yahya Abdullah would point it out and remind us from the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that he taught us true al-Islam.
All right. Good looking girl.
That is an awesome mic drop. Do we have any more cards? I have two cards, and I want to make sure that I have the other two before I continue. We're good? All right. So I'm going to read one that had beautiful handwriting. This is to each of the panelists. Considering the bean pie was the original creation of the Nation of Islam, unlike the chocolate chip cookie and other food items, why didn't the bean pie not receive the national or international capital of profits as lesser products?
Can you repeat the question?
Since the bean pie is the creation of the Nation of Islam, basically, why didn't it become as popular as, like, chocolate chip cookies, and why didn't that revenue and profit kind of funnel in because of that? Because the bean pie is delicious, and I agree.
I'm a retired baker, as is Imam Abdul Karim Hassan. Imam Abdul Karim Hassan financed two schools in Connecticut with a bean pie called the Teeny Beanie. They baked those pies, they sold those pies, they put them in stores and restaurants all over the New Haven area, and they had a route. And it helped support the development of Masjid Muhammad in Connecticut and also Masjid Muhammad in another city. I'm not thinking of it right now. And it's still very popular, but the pie is expensive, and the pie has a lot of sugar in it. And people are more health conscious now. So you can't eat the pie every time you see the pie. You know, I'm a baker, so I can't bring you that pie every week. I remember when I had my bakery on Foothill and Fairfax, right across the street from Muhammad's Temple number 26. And I had the pies. I was selling the pies sometimes to the prisons. I had 100 accounts selling them to the stores. And one of the accounts was the San Francisco Muslim Center. And one of the sisters, one day, she accosted me out in front of the masjid, and she pulled her jilbab open, and she said, "Brother, ma'am, look at what you're doing." So that's why the pie is not that popular. But it is popular, but you have to eat it in measures. And if you go to the Washington, D.C. area, yeah, I used to run drug programs and youth programs in Washington, D.C., and one of the things I liked about whoever was marketing the pie in Washington, D.C., you could find a bean pie at any gas station in Washington, D.C. Any corner store in Washington, D.C. They had bean pies that were there all the time, and it's probably still like that because somebody had enough sense to market it all around and not just sell it at the masjid.
Mm. Now, I want to add a little something for our brothers from the Nation of Islam, because I already reflect back when I was in the Nation of Islam, and we were told over and over again, don't take the lessons for the surface meaning. Go deep.
Yeah.
So how do you say bean in Arabic?
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who speak Arabic, you know. It's what? Thank you. So the bean pie, if you say bean in Arabic, is full of food. So again, it was the strategy of Farid Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad to bring us from a foolish state.
Yeah.
Bean means you say fool in Arabic. I'm trying to help some people to understand that when you're dealing with a baby in kindergarten, you can't teach it physics. So that's what they had reduced us to. We weren't using our intellectual prowess. Now, I got a Fitra Muhammad story. I'm walking around. I'm sick as who know what, in a wheelchair. This woman said, "We going to Italy, and we going to Turkey." Now, how do you tell that little lady right there, no, she ain't big as nothing. She don't take no for an answer, right? So here I go, I'm on Turkey all that, in a wheelchair. You understand? Then she called me for something else to do. So I said, "Fitra, I just died." She says, "Okay, that's okay. Now the program is going." That's the kind of woman she is. If she has something to do good for humanity, she's not going to take you that you're not going to participate.
That's right.
And I noticed this earlier this afternoon. No eye was dry when Precious and Sister, I told her, the editor, was speaking.
Yeah.
I saw Fahim up there grabbing his eyes. I told him all you and I needed was a bar of soap and a towel. We'd have been okay. Yeah. But now, you know, you have this beautiful situation here that we have to capture, and I know they're capturing it. And this is a part of our history. It's constantly evolving. When we came in, we were young men like you.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lieutenants and captains in front of us. And we were trying to imitate them, you know. And we were worshiping Allah the best way we knew how. And we used to stand in dua like this. We didn't make formal salat. But I didn't know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had published a book, a red book, in 1957, with the steps of prayer in it.
Yeah.
Don't come telling me he didn't prepare us.
That's right.
But what I'm saying, sometimes some things are ahead of the child's development. Okay? So no disrespect to him, but I want to say this to you. Then I'm going to stop. I got to say this. We had a famous lecture from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his last year, series called Total Triple Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you've done, man.
Theology
of Time. And it had a picture of the black man coming out of the universe.
Yeah.
And he said that we came out of total triple darkness. Now, that's a hell of a teaching.
Yeah.
But do you know what he was telling us? In the Quran. See, we wasn't ready for the Quran. It says man has been created in three veils.
Yeah. It's there.
That's right.
You hear me?
Yeah.
But we couldn't handle it. What are the three veils? Literally, the woman's skin, Second, the placenta. Second veil. Third veil, I forgot it because you got me shook up. And I went to medical school. But what I'm trying to say to you is that we had all of those teachings.
Yeah.
See? Listen, as I'm concluding. It says, Allah nurus samawati wal ard. That's the Quran. Allah is the light of the heavens and earth. And he was teaching us, excuse me, Imam Muhammad helped us in that transition. He said, you know, you want the light, but you don't want the glass that the light is in. Are you following me? You wanted the teachings of Christ. I'm speaking to the Christians. That's what Christians said. But you didn't want the white flesh of Christ. I hope I'm helping a lot of you. So we had to bring us out of racism. I'm not saying you were racist. I'm saying out of racist environment. Because just as you have a wound, that's the wound for the physical body, language is the wound for your mind. Did you get that? You spell word, W-O-R-D. You spell world, W-O-R-D, with a L in it. So any world that you live in up here is because of words that came in through the five senses. You get it now? So listen, I'm finishing. So what, when it's saying that you don't want to touch the glass, but you want the light in the glass, it means Allah was telling us in the Quran, I am the light of the means you can't put your hands on me. If you try to get to the sun, it's 93 million miles away from here, right? The closer you get to the sun, the more you're going to burn up. You will have no existence. So Allah is saying, you cannot put me in a flesh entity. I'm bigger than the flesh.
Yeah, Allah.
You get it now? Oh, good God Almighty. This was like Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, but we couldn't handle it. But thank Allah, we understand it now. We understand the wisdom. It's not service, it's deep. Thank you, Sister Precious. You should have brought a crying towel along with you. Okay? All the brothers were crying.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. So listen, I want to say this to you. Listen, brothers, please listen. If you fall out on the floor, you want somebody, oh, Sheikh Deputy, I got to shut up. You got to have a man who got knowledge to revive you off the floor.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, dear.
All right.
I owe you a bean pie.
So we have another.
And welcome to the Business Association. Again, this show is about to conclude. We're going to invite you to come back next week, and we will continue our estate planning, where we will have the attorneys and the CPAs and the financial planners to talk about estate planning, the probate courts, and the new Trump tax laws, along with many of the new index retirement plans. So, again, we apologize for not having a program this week. But, again, the attorneys had a late court session, and also the accountants, they with the cooperation contract that they had to fulfill with a cooperation. So, but they will be back with us next week to keep the community informed on information that we should know. Until then, I thank you so much for your time, and until next week, peace be with you. Brother Aziz?
Yes, great show. Look forward to our audience next week, and peace be unto you, Brother Bilal, and to our audience.
Until then, we'll see you next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
You're all I see. To look in your direction, it appears that you're paying no attention. But soon as I